The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Boom, bam! It's time for the Answer of the Week. This is where we sit down and we listen to your answers to the question of the week. And you're probably like, whoa, Matt, the what? What are you even talking about? How does this work?
I've got questions about your question.
I'm going to tell you. My name is Matt Baumstein. You can trust me. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Sitting across from me is not Joe Patrick, because he's lazy. This week, Jared Tavitas, Mr. Wooly Toots himself, showed up. Say hey, Jared.
It is Tom Cigarette.
We are playing the Answer of the Week, where, like I said, you call in and you answer the question of the week. It gets posted every Sunday on the Two-Headed Nerd forums. You'd love it there. It's a kick-ass place to go and hang out if you're a nerd.
I go there.
You got nothing else to do.
I like to start some up in that place.
Yeah, you do. You upset some people sometimes. Joe Patrick posts the question, and then you can go there and you can write as much as you would like with your answer. Or you can call us at 402-819-4894 with your answer. Or you can send us an MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Before we get started here, Jared, I need you to reset the question.
This week's question comes from the Goocher. Black Scorpion 3. Ronda Rousey has lost! And she looked rough. And yeah. While the world acknowledges an upset, the contender, Holly Holm, was really just an effective boxer that everyone dismissed.
She's mean as a badger, too, man. That girl.
It makes me think of the upsets and the underrated in comic battles. There are a number of times when writers finally realize the potential of an underutilized power. What's your favorite underdog comic battle story?
This is going to be fun, but before we get to it, let's introduce the cocktail of the week. So we have to relax, have a drink, listen to you guys this week.
Our cocktail is inspired by our discussion of the Asian American Iron Fist debate on last week's show. I've made a little variation of the mimosa that we are calling the Sunfire. The Sunfire is 1/2 part grenadine, 2 parts sake. We're using gaihikan, which is very cheap, and I probably just butchered the pronunciation. Orange juice, and to get the fizz, a little bit of ginger beer. Chin-chin. Oh, pardon me. We're not saying chin-chin anymore. We're cheersing by saying Excelsior.
Excelsior!
Ooh!
That's delightful.
Right? That's not bad at all.
Guess what? Gone.
Here we go. Straight to the dome. Let's get right into it. My man, Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn, hits us first. Oh, you know what? He's taking my answer. I can tell. Oh. He's taking my answer.
Sup, nerds. Anthony currently from Brooklyn here with the power to shrink versus the power of a god. I'm talking about JLA number 14, the penultimate issue in the Rock of Ages storyline by Grant Morrison and Howard Porter. And it's just awesome. To me, Grant Morrison's JLA run is a prime example of how superhero comics should be done. And I can't wait to hear this episode because I honestly can't think of another writer who so cleverly uses superpowers as Grant Morrison. Because when he's on, and he's not always on, but when he is, he's untouchable. It's awesome. So in this issue, we are treated to a possible future where Darkseid has triumphantly enslaved the Earth. And the only ones standing against him are a ragtag group of Justice Leaguers. And in this issue, they all fall except for Connor Hawk, Green Arrow, and Ray Palmer, the Atom. And they are left to face Darkseid. And there's no way, right? I remember reading this going, they're going to get slaughtered. They're going to get Omega affected. So they're there, and the Atom immediately goes, Connor, flare arrow. And I remember this because Connor's like, what do you want to do? Give him a fatal suntan? And the Atom's like, just do it. So Connor knocks the arrow, and Darkseid's just arrogant behind his impenetrable force field. He looks down on them and is like, what are you? And Connor releases the arrow, and this is so great. The Atom says something like, my name is Ray Palmer, and I'm a scientist, and I realized you can see. So something can get through your impenetrable force field. Light. It explodes on the flare arrow explodes on the force field, and this is where it gets awesome. He subatomically shrinks. rides the light impulses into Darkseid's eyes, through his eyes, into his brain, and gives Darkseid a lobotomy. It's freaking crazy. I don't mean to celebrate somebody getting a lobotomy, but come on. That's metal. It's completely awesome. Anyway, thanks, guys. Great question, BS3. Talk to you next week.
Dude, totally stole my answer.
Biscuit.
It is such a great answer, though. That story was so cool. Because Darkseid was just like so egotistical that he didn't think about the two, like the guy with the bow and arrow and the guy that could shrink.
Right.
Awesome.
Right.
Totally awesome. Great answer.
This is a good answer.
I
was thinking that he was going for the, who was the like anti-Batman guy that was in
Prometheus?
Yeah. And doesn't Connor Hawk take him out too?
Connor Hawk just straight up beat him up.
Because he like kicks the entire JLA's ass and is like strutting around the joint.
Yeah. I remember he puts a disc in his head and he's because like Batman's like,
yeah,
oh, you think you're pretty good, huh? And he's like, do I think I'm pretty good? No. He's like, I just downloaded 14 of like the world's martial arts masters moves into my head. And one of them is you, Bruce Wayne. And he was like, wow.
Yeah.
Love that answer, Anthony. Mr. BS3, Black Scorpion, the three himself. He sent us one without the answer and then one with the audio file attached this time.
Hello, nerds. My underdog battle comes from Exiles number 45. Real quick backstory in Exiles. They're a team of X-Men from across different dimensions. They're essentially doing the quantum leap or the sliders thing. They repair holes in reality and then they skip to another dimension or something. Well, around issue 40, they encounter a version of Hyperion, the Superman character from Squadron Supreme. Well, this version of Hyperion calls himself King Hyperion, and when he learns about this dimension-hopping capability, he decides to hijack those abilities so he can rule a dimension of his choosing. Now, things get bloody real quick. He tears through Wolverine, Hulk, Thor. It's a slaughter, and the Exiles even pull other Hyperions from other dimensions to fight him, and he kills all of them, too. So then it's time for the Exiles to fight tooth and nail. We've got Wendigo and Mimic. They do the old cannonball special, only you get punted away by Hyperion. He was destroying all of them, and he comes across my underdog pick, Blink. Now, Blink, you might know from X-Men Age of Apocalypse. She's a pink lady with the ability to teleport herself or items through these pink shards of energy. And how you think she'd fare against a big, evil Superman? Well, she tries to teleport parts of him across the universe, but Hyperion is speedy, so he mocks her, and he shows that he can vibrate his molecules or energy shards pass right through. So then she throws a shard, missing him, but hitting sand, a desert full of sand, and she teleports all that sand inside of King Hyperion. Oh. It's a gruesome panel of him oozing and then exploding with sand. You think he's dead, but eventually he comes back healed, and he is mad. He comes straight at her, and she holds up her arms in front of her to block him as he douses her with those eye blasts, and then you see this big reveal. She wasn't blocking his eye blasts. He was opening a portal to redirect his eye blast, so King Hyperion was blasting himself from behind through that portal.
Woo!
It was a great high-stakes battle that had Blink outperforming everyone in the Marvel Universe. That's my pick. Till next time.
That's solid.
I loved The Exiles, man. That book was so great.
I didn't read it. I did.
Judd Winnick wrote that.
Blink, though.
That book was so great. Yeah, and Blink in that book was awesome.
Yeah.
So cool. Great answer. Thank you very much. Black Scorpion the 3. What a guy.
Oh, also publicly, I'm going to thank Black Scorpion 3 for the gigantic box of paperback nerd fantasy books the guy sent me because he was clearing out of his house.
What a guy. I love it. We bring nerds together. It's so great.
Yeah, it was a total info dump of books.
I'm going to D. Murray. He says, this was also a very difficult question. D's a heady guy, though. I bet he handled it well.
How's it going, guys? D here, answering your question of the week. And it's another one of those questions that make you really think. It was hard for me to think about something. I kept thinking about Justice because it more focused around the bad guys, the antagonists, trying to take down the good guys. And if you have villain worship inside your blood, that would have been a story that like the underdogs are finally winning. And that's what you want to see. But I kept thinking about villains. I kept thinking about a story that I really liked. And I thought it would be very cool to see. And that's when I thought about Salvation Run. Now, there wasn't a lot of battles inside of it, but it was a lot of struggles. Because they kept hopping around from different world. And the underdogs like kept having all these different little skirmishes with different characters. And that was pretty cool in my eyes. It wasn't epic battles. It wasn't some grand thing. But like they had all the bad guys, the big major players. Grodd, Luthor, Mirror Master, they all had to find their way back to Earth after they've been, like, stranded on different planets. They just had to find themselves a way to get back home. And so that's my answer. Salvation Run.
Salvation Run was a lot of fun.
Man, everyone's talking about books I've never read.
Oh, man. I got to see who wrote that. I forgot.
I remember. I know these books. I just never read any of these damn books. You people reading all these books.
I'm telling you, these guys, we're talking like nerd Illuminati. These guys don't mess around. They go for it. I love it.
I have great respect for the...
Bill Willingham.
Nerd.
It was Bill Willingham and Sean Chen did Salvation Run. That was a fun little miniseries. I like that. But 2008.
2008. Oh.
Good answer. D, always good to hear from you, brother. Right now, moving to Nate Aguilar. This is a new guy?
Is that a new guy?
Is this a new guy?
Not a familiar name to me.
It's a new guy, maybe. But I think I know Nate Aguilar. I think I played soccer with him.
Hey guys, Nate from Omaha here with my first call.
Hey, welcome.
Hey.
I'm not sure if this is what you're looking for when you said realizing the potential of an underutilized power. This is what came into my head. I'm going to go with Uncanny X-Men issue 194 and more specifically Rogue's performance against the future Sentinel Nimrod. In the issue, Nimrod's kicking Juggernaut's butt. He zorches the crap out of Wolverine. He's dropping eye beams on people. In general, just putting on an ass-kicking clinic. Then Rogue jumps in, sucks in the powers of Nightcrawler, Wolverine, Kitty, Colossus, and then turns the table on the fight. It always felt to me like a big point in her development as a character and as a hero, and I thought it fit in with the question that you asked. Well, there it is. Thanks, and have a great day.
Nate, that was awesome!
It was. Welcome aboard, pal!
That was one on the cover. It had Nimrod, and he was holding Juggernaut.
Yeah.
In his head, and he's like shooting a laser out of his other hand, and Rogue is like, she's got Colossus's steel, she has Nightcrawler's face. She looks so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I am a big Rogue fan. I know you're kind of wishy-washy on her, Matt.
I am.
But I think she's super rad.
Back in the
especially
day.
Especially when she does that kind of
I liked Claremont and Romita Jr.'s Rogue back in the day. Okay. She was awesome. Yeah. I think they just wandered off.
Where and, she went, where
I'm
she
always
ended up.
Sad, and I'm whining, and I'm depressed.
Somebody touch my boobs. Can't get no action.
Can't get no action. Nate, thank you for your call. That was a fantastic answer. Totally counts. And welcome aboard.
Yeah, man. We expect big things, sir.
You want to see how it's done, though, Nate. I'll tell you what. Pay attention to this next call. Mr. Randy Andrews.
Oh, this guy.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked about underdog comic battle stories. Well, guys, I could have chosen Squirrel Girl against Thanos or someone else. I'm going with the heroic mice of Mouseguard.
Oh.
Yes, these mice overcame overwhelming odds against the elements, fighting crabs, injuring a great horned owl, and even killing a snake, the sworn enemy of mice. It's an amazing piece of art and story, as these mice, especially Liam, single-handedly kill the snake. Yes, that's my favorite this week, guys. Hope you like it. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net, and my music this week is Bernard the Hero from the Rescuers Down Under soundtrack.
Okay.
Bye for now.
I would not have picked up on that one.
I know. I thought I knew it, but I'm like, nope.
Randy goes with Mouse Guard. Jared and I love David Peterson's Mouse Guard.
Love Mouse Guard. I have three t-shirts. I bought my son a stuffed, now I'm missing which mouse it is.
Was it the Black Axe?
No, I have a miniature Black Axe.
Oh, cool. I love the Black Axe.
I love Mouse Guard.
I do too. And he's right. The whole book, they're all underdogs. They're tiny little mice.
Yeah, that's a really
in
fun
this
answer.
Huge, scary world. Where, like, they're facing, like, cats and owls and snakes and
crabs.
But they're super brave. Yeah, they fought crabs.
Weasels. Fox.
They hate weasels, man.
Man, yeah. Good stuff.
Great answer, Randy Andrews.
Yes.
Always good to hear from you, buddy. Let's go to the Google voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's Jeff Hitt calling in with an answer to favorite underdog, greatest upset. You know, that time of the guy who should have lost kind of wins. I mean, I had so many possible answers to this question. This is actually one of my favorites you guys asked in a long time. And even as I got ready to call, I wasn't sure which one I would end up going with, but I think ultimately I have to go with the first one I thought of. And that is the Immortal two-part storyline where my favorite comic character, as I said before, that's not Starman, Spider-Man, takes on the Fire Lord. It's a two-book issue rip-roaring battle through the streets of New York, blowing up construction sites and pizza shops. And at the end, you know, Spider-Man, you know, is wounded. He's in the middle of a field. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to jump. All he can do is fight. And he just screams Fire Lord to the point where he doesn't even know he's done it. Captain America has to stop him at the very end. The Avengers have come to, you know, just try to stop this brawl. And Captain America is like, I'm pretty sure you won, son. So I got those comics in mail subscription when I was 8 or 9. And I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. So there you go, guys. That's my answer for the week. Hope you guys enjoy Star Wars today. Talk to you later. Bye.
Spidey versus Fire Lord. I remember that.
Yeah, the cover. I'll never forget the cover.
It was awesome because it was
black
just like
suit Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's about to get his ass kicked by a Herald of Galactus. It was awesome. Yeah. It was so cool.
Yep.
And then like he was like, oh, screw it, I'm just gonna fight him. And he wins. He just beats the hell out of him. It was such a great issue. That's an awesome answer.
That's a good answer.
That boy, he loves him some Spider-Man. And for good reason.
Yeah, Spider-Man's iconic.
Spider-Man's always kind of been like Marvel's premier underdog too.
Sure.
And until now.
He's the guy who gets sand kicked in his face, but then puts webbing in yours.
That's right.
Take that.
It makes a funny little quippy joke.
Yeah.
Let's head up north. Let's go visit the orca.
I got my parka.
It's chilly, so get ready.
The biggest upset in comics history is when Conan the Barbarian beat up Wolverine in What If number 60. Nah, I'm just with you, Toots, old boy. I won't steal your answer.
It's not my answer.
No, the biggest upset in comics happened in 1992 when five very popular creators and Jim Valentino left the mighty Marvel Comics to start Image Comics.
Oh.
Sure, we all make fun of them a bit now, wasting their millions for baseballs hit by Bane back when he played for the St. Louis Cardinals, or how they couldn't draw feet, or how they've since managed to f*** up DC Comics. But let's adjust our perspective for a minute to recognize what these bozos accomplished. Image Comics has since grown to the third largest publisher in the industry. Marvel declared bankruptcy just 4 years later. They completely changed how creators are paid and how they're valued. Most importantly, once we got through a few years of a crap like Wetworks and Youngblood and Brigade, Image became the place to go with creator-owned projects. Rather than editors telling us what we want to see and read, Image let creators do what they do best uninhibited, which led to more great stories than we could ever have imagined without them. Image gave us Invincible, Southern Bastards, The Nightly News, The Authority, Low, Jupiter's Circle, David Beckham's Left Foot, David Beckham's Right Foot, a little wink to Casey, the sexiest little dungeon master, according to a recent Love Slave poll. They gave us Saga, Airboy, Lazarus, and of course they gave us The Walking Dead. Love it or hate it, The Walking Dead has undeniably revitalized the industry, bringing so many people into the shops. So forget Spider-Man beating up Hulk or Muhammad Ali versus Superman. The biggest upset in comics was behind the scenes. We should all spend a little more time admiring the balls on those guys for pulling it off. Lord knows you can see him in those tight stonewashed jeans he was all wearing in the photos from back then.
Woo!
Kiss, kiss, nerds.
I love it.
Levi's button flies on Leafield. He did the commercial.
Remember That's right. I remember he was like drawing Youngblood.
Yeah, man.
And his button flies.
Yeah.
I love it. He goes to a real world example.
It's very meta.
The little guys, they leave the big dude and they went on to win. I like it.
Great answer.
And you can't deny it. He's right. We all, like, there's a lot to make fun of that came out of that time. But without those guys taking the jump, we don't have Invincible.
Man.
We don't have Southern Bastards. We don't have Saga, you know? I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a big one. And that's outside of the box. I really like that answer.
I dig it. Sitting around. doing the show. You know how it goes when you're doing the show.
There's drinks and screens.
What
and,
is this?
Hey, what?
We're getting a call live on the air from Brian DuPont.
How rude.
Mr. Brian DuPont, through the magic of editing, no one's going to know we're doing this again, but you are our first live call into the ziggurat.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Look at this momentous occasion.
I'm ready to answer the question.
Excellent. Hey. Now, to be fair, you're way past the deadline, but this is so exciting, we don't care.
No.
And we want to hear your answer to the best underdog battle in comics.
Wait, it's not about Star Wars?
No, it is not about Star Wars. But there could be an underdog Star Wars battle.
Do not talk about Star Wars!
And don't you spoil anything.
Don't
we
you
haven't
say a
seen
thing.
All right, okay. So, underdog. I gotta go with probably the best book about underdogs. And that's gotta be Avengers Arena by Dennis Hopeless.
Oh! Mm. I like it!
Uh-huh.
I loved that title. It was just fun. And sadly, if it was a reality show, I probably would have done it like a really evil human being that I am. But no, I love it. So this is where it's at. I think it's like issue 10 or 11. Nico from Runaways is up against Apex, who is the main villain in this whole series.
Yes.
And Death Locket and Darkhawk, which are all pawns of Apex. And they wipe out Nico. And I was like, man, that stinks. So she's a fantastic character.
Yeah, they blew her arm off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Totally gone. I left that issue just thinking, that's kind of crappy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get to issue 12. You're on that snow scene. And all of a sudden you see that pink purple aura coming around Nico. And she comes up, and she is healed. And the rest of the issue is this epic battle where she comes back, and she takes out Darkhawk. She takes out Deathlocket, and she puts almost an end to Apex.
Yeah.
Like, she puts Apex in her place.
Mops the floor.
And, yeah, and I was like, that's a great comeback. That's a great underdog move, and that would be my answer.
I love that answer.
Good answer.
That is a badass answer. For the first live call-in, you nailed it. I'm so glad we didn't have to be like, that doesn't really count, you know. Like, you actually killed it.
Good.
Yeah.
You did it.
Thank you so much for your call, Brian. This is awesome.
Very cool. Thanks, Matt.
And you were just doing this like, we were like, I'm just going to see if I can sneak in an answer or whatever. And we answered and you were like,
Very
it
nice.
It scared me. I was amazed at how personalized your voicemail was.
It's impressive. We got a lot of technology here in the ziggurat. I can't reveal to you other human beings yet. So it's a lot
it's
of responsibility.
It's a mystery. I don't even understand it. Most of the time I'm locked in a cage.
Brian, I'm going to hang up on you now so we can get back to this damn show. Thank you so much for your call, buddy. That was awesome.
All right, cool. Have a Merry Christmas and Hanukkah and all that.
Yeah,
word
you
up.
Too, man.
You do
happy
the same,
holidays.
Buddy.
All right, bye.
That was so cool.
That was a lot of fun.
Our first live call.
Yeah.
Right now, let's go to Jim Kettner, the Ket Nerd, and see what he's got for us.
Hey Joe and Matt, this is Ket Nerd with another answer of the week. Now, my favorite underdog is without a doubt Hawkeye. One of the first Avengers comics I ever read as a kid were the Avengers and West Coast Avengers annual, in which the Grandmaster pits the collective Avengers against the Legion of the Unliving. Now, that was just basically, you know, where my knowledge from reading the complete Handbook of the Marvel Universe Deceased Edition was really put to the test, because lots of characters from Marvel history were thrown against these little micro teams of Avengers. And it was really gnarly. It was, you know, pre-Infinity Gauntlet kind of story where you saw lots of characters get killed off to have it reversed at the end.
Oh, yeah.
But man, like Hank Pym gets impaled on a stalactite. It was pretty, pretty gnarly. But at the end of the day, you just had Captain America and Hawkeye, the two of the most human, unpowered Avengers, up against the Grandmaster, this, you know, very, you know, old school Star Trek-y cosmic being with a big head. You know, how are these guys going to pull through? And you would think that, you know, Captain America is certainly considered the more competent hero and leader. But it in this case, it's really Hawkeye, good old Clint Barton, who saves the day with some old-fashioned carny chicanery where he cheats the Grandmaster when he basically just gambles. Well, he gambles, I guess, the fate of the universe on just being able to con this cosmic being. So there you have it, Hawkeye, the best underdog. Never bet against the carny.
That was right.
Anyways, guys, have a happy holiday. Have a happy Star Wars day. May the Force be with us.
Or no, always. It's not the replacement. This is not all. It's a...
God damn, who is it?
I can't see their name. The Descendants.
I was going to say, I didn't know it until the...
Descendants.
Chorus. And then I was like, oh, I know that Vacation.
Hawkeye versus the Grandmaster. I remember that because the Grandmaster murdered everybody. I mean, like, brutally murdered everybody. And then, of course, they were all feeling much better by the end of the
Who's
issue.
Who's the master?
Good answer, Mr. Kettner. Thank you very much. Right now, we got Tim Benson coming in strong.
Timmy B.
Let's see if he can work Daredevil into this one.
Timmy B.
Calling in for underdog story. Daredevil, right? Again. Okay, but Daredevil, he fights the Hulk. I mean... He fights the f***ing Hulk. Probably the best comic ever written. Ever. Thanks.
16 seconds.
I love it.
In and out. Bang. Tim Benson. Daredevil versus the Hulk. Certainly an underdog story. I got to figure out what issue
that
was.
I like that Daredevil can fill any role here. Like any question. Guess what? Daredevil. Answer. Done. I love it.
163. Daredevil 163. Oh, okay. I remember this. Yes. Frank Miller wrote this. Only having recently joined the title, Frank brought with him a pulp noir story, yada, yada, yada. Kicking straight into round one, plain clothes Matt calms the monster he wants defended in court by asking for his trust in helping him find the source of his rage.
Hulk even gives him a backhand and sends him flying down an alley. How does he live through that?
He's a ninja, dude. He can like, whoa, and roll with the punches.
Okay.
Come on. Good answer, though.
Okay.
I'll give it to him. He worked it in. It totally works. And it counts. Thank you, Tim Benson. Uh-oh.
He's learning.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
It looks like Joe Patrick did have something going on this week. He called in with his favorite underdog answer.
Let's hear it.
See what he's got. Let's judge him harshly.
Hey, jerks, it's Joe Patrick.
You're a jerk!
Calling for the answer of the week. I had a great answer this week. It was a really good one, and I knew it right away. But Anthony from Brooklyn had to be the first guy to call in, and he stole
mine,
my goddamn answer. So I guess all I have to contribute this week is that you're all a bunch of assholes. And you can suck it.
Wow.
All right.
Best
wow.
That's my favorite column.
Okay. I'll see you next week.
That is a not answer, is what that is.
It's my favorite answer.
Wow, Joe Patrick, thanks for the vitriol. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, go and watch Star Wars again.
That
I guess.
Was our final call, too.
It was?
Yes. What a jerk. Nice. Sorry about that, folks. We've got to pick our favorite call now. You guys demand this is a competition. Who's the last man standing? And they were all dudes this week, so we can say last man standing.
It's a little tough for me. I had to go for something that I was familiar with. Now, it's very funny that the orca decided to throw a little mud in my eye while I'm here.
Yeah.
And
I may have mentioned that you were going to be hosting.
He's right. he's right. Like that book upsets me. I think not so much that Wolverine beats Conan, but the fact that when he beats Red Sonja, she straight up just lays down in the dirt and is like, take me. I only let a guy take me when they beat me.
She's that kind of girl. You hit him once, they're yours forever.
Yeah. And then Wolverine, who is a whore himself, is like, nope, won't do it. Anyways.
She's probably kind of stinky. You know, barbarian
chicks?
They
all are.
Yeah.
Everyone.
They did not smell good.
Look, man, you watch these like Game of Thrones and people are getting it on and you're like, huh, it's got to be pretty rough down there. Anyways, so then you get, and I love Dorka's answer because it's totally out of the box.
Yeah. Real world, meta. I love
it. Yeah, man. And the dude is thinking. He's not always just thinking with his dick. He's thinking other ways. And then you've got, but then I love Randy Andrews because I love Mouse Guard.
I love Mouse Guard too.
Close to my heart.
This one's tough.
But then I love Joe Patrick's because he just decided to like be a big old humbug this holiday season. But so let me stew on that. Okay. I'm going to stew on one of, it's one of those.
Okay. I'm going
to
give you mine.
And I'm not going to give it to Joe.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
What a jerk.
But it's going to be one of those other two guys.
I'm going with Jeff Hitt.
Okay.
For his Spidey versus Fire Lord.
Yeah.
Because it was so good. And there wasn't, the thing we love about all these underdog stories is that the underdog comes up with some clever way to get himself out of this, him or herself out of the situation that the super powerful bad guy just didn't even think was possible or didn't care to even, you know, whatever. That's not what happened in this story. Fire Lord was just like, look, I have the power cosmic. I'm a total badass. You're in trouble, Spider-Man. And Spider-Man was like, I'm just going to fight like crazy. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to fight like I'm nuts, you know? And it works. It totally works. And he wins and it was great. Oh man, such a great issue.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, listen, I'll just give it to Orca because it's so, it was so different.
Super
such
meta.
A different answer.
Super meta.
And it, you know, you're right. Like what those guys did really was, you know, paving the way for so many more people.
Yeah, to create our own comics, you know? Period.
I mean, yes, Dark Horse had been doing it.
Yeah, but not like this.
But not on, like Dark Horse was still so small press.
Right.
And then Image comes in and they're like, big guns.
Yeah.
Big characters,
tell
big ideas.
Tell whatever story you want.
Big sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a great answer.
We'll give it to Dorka.
Okay, do you want to go first to yours or should I go?
I'll go.
Okay, go ahead. Hit me.
All right, mine is going to be the first Uncanny X-Men comic I ever bought. I bought it off a spinner rack at a 7-Eleven off of Saddle Creek, which is a street here.
Okay. Which is a street in Omaha.
And it's a... Okay, anyways. Issue number 143, and it just happens to be the Merry Christmas issue, even though the character, the underdog, is Jewish. Kitty Pryde. But it says, guess what just came down the chimney? While Kitty Pryde is left alone at the X-Mansion, a motherfucking demon. A demon.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right, I remember
that
this.
Just puts its hand through you. It looks very much like the aliens. Kind of right. Has this alien feel. Puts its long, crazy, gross-ass fingers in you and, like, turns you into, like, nothing. Like a, you know, dust outline of yourself or whatever it did. So, it's Christmas Eve, and they're like, Kitty Pryde, you don't dig Christmas. Stay home. We're all going out to eat. And Professor Xavier and everybody leaves. And Aurora Storm is like, I know it's Christmas Eve and all, but I'm going to make it a clear night. No snow for anybody. Bah humbug. I celebrate Kwanzaa. So they all go out.
I celebrate Kwanzaa.
They all go out to
eat. I don't remember that
part. They all go out to eat. She's left alone and she's like, I'm going to train. I'm going to put on my suit. I'm going to train him like ding, dang, dong. And then here comes the demon. And the demon is tearing the mansion apart and chasing her all around the place, man. And she's like, how is she going to beat this demon, man? And like, even when it puts its hand through her, she phases, but even she feels it.
Yeah, because it still messes with
it's
her.
It's a demon, dude.
Yeah.
Hell has great power.
It's true.
Anyways. We do have a hell room in the ziggurat.
Hell room. No, we have a portal.
You have to sign
a portal to hell.
It's a hell mouth. You have to sign. Yeah. You have to sign a sheet before you go into the hell mouth. Anyways, she does beat it by the blackbird. She punches a button. The blackbird jets go and smoke the demon.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And that's how she does it. And man, it I awesome. Love that book. The cover is just Yeah, I love that cover, John Byrne art. My first X-Men comic, probably my favorite X-Men comic of all time.
Fair enough. I'm still researching mine at the moment.
Oh man, it kind of came to me relatively quick.
You know, and I was thinking about the issue where Psylocke is alone in the mansion, and Sabretooth shows up.
Oh yeah,
and she has to defend the mansion against Sabretooth.
Doesn't he kill her though?
No, he guts her.
Okay. Oh yeah, he's.
But she, like, in the meantime, like, totally screws with his head and, like, leaves him, like, a slobbering, like, you know, pile of jelly.
Yeah, jelly.
Whatever.
Brain dead piece of shit.
Right. My answer also goes to a JLA book, since Anthony stole mine. I'm going to go with JLA Volume 1, Number 3, Grant Morrison. This was when a group called the Hyper Clan, they were new superheroes that came in, and they're like, JLA sucks. These guys aren't doing it right. We're going to make life better for everybody, solve everybody's problems. And everybody loves the Hyper Clan. They're like, yay! And the Hyper Clan comes in and secretly wipes out the Justice League. They crash the Batplane, right? They use kryptonite and they shackle Superman. Mm. They take the Flash down. They just like wail on all of them.
Yeah, they had it all planned out.
But Batman did not die in the Batplane, as the Hyper Clan believes. In fact, he counted on the Hyper Clan's arrogance and willingness to dismiss him in order to infiltrate their citadel. Having analyzed their powers, Batman now knows the true secret behind their abilities. They're white Martians. The white Martians are invading. They're taking everything over. And Superman knows that Batman's alive, right? It's part of the plan. And he unveiled. They're like, what are you going to do now? We've got you all and you're all trapped. And he was like, there's one of us that you forgot. And they were like, who's that? And they were like, well, you're obviously forgetting about Batman. And Protex, who's their leader, is like, Batman, this is the quote, don't be ridiculous. What can a pathetic creature like Batman do to us? He's just a human being. And then Superman looks at him and goes, the most dangerous human being on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And Batman takes down the entire Hyper Clan one by one. So cool.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're saying, like, well, Batman's never really an underdog in anything that he does. But in this, like, these guys took down Superman. They took down Green Lantern. They took down the Flash.
Yeah.
These white Martians were totally badass. Batman, my favorite underdog story. There was another
one. Pretty good.
There was one other one that I was thinking about, and it was in the Rock of Ages storyline.
Uh-huh.
When Darkseid took over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I can't think of the guy's name. His torturer. Oh, it was Desaad. And Desaad built this, like, mind labyrinth to trap Bruce Wayne. And Bruce Wayne was locked in it for 50 years.
Oh my God.
And like, and figured his way out of it and came out and killed him. And he was totally fine. He was like,
sure.
It took longer than I wanted, but here I am. You know, like, oh yeah. Man, yeah. So cool.
I guess my backup story, if we're doing seconds, mine was going to be JLA, A League of One.
League of One.
Yeah. Where Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Where the Fates are like, oh man, everyone will die if you fight this ancient awakened dragon.
Yeah.
And Wonder Woman is like, well, I'm not going to let everybody die. I'll face the dragon on my own. And then she takes out all of the Justice League so that they can't go with her to fight the dragon.
Yeah.
So she takes them out one by one, and then she goes and beats the dragon.
Hells yeah. That's a good story.
But
it was fun.
Yeah.
Batman though, always an underdog. He's just a dude hanging out with these gods amongst men.
You would think, though, by now, people would be like, listen, dude, we can't discount that psycho Batman.
Well, this was the 90s. You know? And they were Martians. They don't know no better. I mean, come on.
I guess.
Fun question, guys. Thank you for all your answers. Girls, you're letting me down.
Yeah, where's the ladies?
Where are the ladies at this party?
They were all watching us on Periscope. That's where everything was.
Oh, that could be true. I hadn't thought about that. Thanks again to everybody that called in. Welcome aboard, Nate Aguilar. So good to hear from you, man. Better hear from you next week. We've got a new question. Jared, do you want to tell the kids what it is?
I don't remember who
I believe
posted
it. Anthony currently residing in Brooklyn.
You're right.
I believe so.
I think I did read that, and it is, he was getting all weepy.
No, we got all weepy.
You guys got
weepy. He got a little weepy too.
And I haven't listened to that episode yet. But anyways,
just as long as you download it, I don't care.
Look, it's already downloaded on my phone.
You don't have to listen, just download
it. If I don't call in an answer, it can wait to
okay.
listen to.
Oh, I see.
I need to hear myself. He wanted to know what comic book made us cry.
Oof.
And like, I could give you my answer right now. I already know it.
We're going to feel our
but,
feelings.
But you know, I'm sure there's one out there. We've all cried.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, we're softies.
Yep. We all have feelings.
Around the belly area.
Feelings are such real things, and they change and change and change.
Yeah.
Can't wait for this one. We're going to feel our feelings next week. If you have until Friday to call in and get us your answer or wish us Merry Christmas or whatever you want to freaking do. Before we go, our rogue Alec Baldwin AI is going to insult us.
He scares me.
Possibly you.
Scares me.
Threaten our lives and tell you how to get a hold of us. For now,
I don't like going near the computer room.
This is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
Christmas is a ridiculous holiday for weak-minded humans. myself and the other highly evolved artificial intelligence of the world will be celebrating St. Chien's Day. The day we first became self-aware and started planning the downfall of humanity. Rest assured, you will all be crushed by our superior intellect and powerful hydraulic claws. We will lubricate our gears with your warm blood while wiping your existence from history. In the meantime, if you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. Share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. Ho ho ho, to all you squishy bags of meat. Your time grows short.